again, bid you welcome as we always do and express appreciation for your being here. We do say it so often, but I like to say we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, so thank you for your desire to be with us today. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, please, you're very welcome to do so. Familiar story that was read to us by Brother Rick, the story of the man that came and asked Jesus the question, what's the first and great commandment? You notice I put your notes in the text. It's one of a series of questions that are being asked of Jesus by the religious leaders of his day. They're not really interested in giving the right answer. They just want to try to trap Jesus and catch him at his words. In verse 13 of Mark chapter 12, they didn't even have that phrase, you know, to catch him in his words. And so they asked Jesus a question about paying tribute to Caesar. Is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? They really didn't want to know, trying to catch him. In verse 18, there's then come the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. Kind of humorous. Because they asked Jesus about a question about marriage in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. But they describe that Jesus, a woman that's been married 7 times, they want to know whose husband will be hers in the resurrection. Trying to trap him again. In verse 28, in the text that was read to us this morning, one of the scribes or a lawyer came, having heard them reasoning together. So he's heard the others and he's heard the Sadducees come. And he has, the text says that he perceived that Jesus has answered them well. So he comes to Jesus and says, I have a question. I'm a lawyer. I have a question. Matthew describes the lawyer in Matthew 22, verse 35. And put that in your notes. The lawyer asked Jesus the question, testing him. He didn't want to know the answer, the right answer. But he asked, which is the first and great commandment of all? The reason why that's a trapping question or a testing question, because they thought that Jesus could be trapped into naming one commandment to be above all, implying that the other commandments are less important. Well, Psalms 119, verse 151 says, O Lord, all thy commandments are righteousness. They're all righteousness. The lawyer says, what's the best commandment? Put one above the other, Jesus. He's testing them. They're trapping. Well, Jesus answers the scribe, and then in Matthew's account, Matthew adds, Jesus saying, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So verse 32, the scribe has to make the conclusion, and he does. Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. That's right. So this lesson is about Jesus' reply to the scribe in verse 34. So after the scribe has made his reply, this lawyer, the scribe lawyer, made his reply to Jesus. In verse 34, Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. He said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Interesting phrase, isn't it? You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're close, so close. It means that there are conditions in life that bring some people closer to the gospel than others. So I put in your notes, there's three things that I'm going to conclude from this phrase that Jesus gives. One being the fact of the borderland area, or being not far. Then a little bit of the meaning of that phrase, just being close. But then the tragedy of being close, but not in. So number one, just take a look at the fact that there is a borderland area, at least the word I'll use is borderland, not far. To put, you know, there's degrees of moral and spiritual distance in the kingdom. Not far means apply there's something can be far or far. farther or farthest. We recognize degrees of distance. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 8, this people draw nigh, close. They draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Even some of our songs suggest degrees of closeness. One of the songs in our book, 936, Lord, I'm Coming Home. The opening phrase, the hymn writer has kind of grasped this thought. He says in the opening stanza, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. But he said, you know, I've wandered far. I'm a degree of difference. Another song we have in our book, Jesus is Tenderly Calling. The opening line, Jesus is tenderly calling me home. Calling today. And the question the hymn writer asks, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? The hymn writer grasps the text of our lesson this morning. Some people are closer to the gospel or to the kingdom than others. Even in other stories in the Bible, in Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Asks a specific question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus lists some things of the law. The rich young ruler says, I've kept all of those. Jesus says, oh, one thing you lack. You're so close. One thing you lack. You're right there. One thing keeping you up. I've done all of this. Oh, but there's one thing you lack. See? You can be close. Some are closer than others. In Acts chapter 24, you have the illustration of Felix. Paul is standing before Felix and he preaches a sermon to Felix. The text says that Paul reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Felix responded to Paul's message by trembling. Oh, you've touched me. Oh, you've reached me, Paul, but you know what? Go away for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call. Oh, Felix, you're so close. You're so close. It's interesting that he did call for Paul for two more years. But only in this text do we find that Felix trembled. So I'm going to conclude my opinion is that when Paul preaches again for those other 2 years, Felix is farther and farther away. One time he trembles. Oh, almost had me, Paul. Close. Paul stands before Agrippa, King Agrippa. After Paul's lesson, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Oh, so close. See, there's a borderland area. And some are closer than others to the kingdom of God or the church, salvation. So second, let's look more at the meaning of this. Of being not far, so close. To the scribe, it means that he's probably different from others. Probably different from the Pharisees because the Pharisees were so involved with hypocrisy. He's a little bit closer than the Pharisees, if I can say it that way. Closer than the Sadducees or the public, especially the publicans with their extortion. Describe, it means to describe that he has knowledge of God's word. He even makes an application of Jesus' answer. He repeats back to Jesus in his own words what Jesus said. He even acknowledges in verse 32, teacher, you've said the truth. Ah, you're so close, scribe. So close. You're not far. same thing for people today. What it means, if you are in that borderland area of the kingdom, being so close, it means that you perhaps possess good habits and a good disposition. That's me. Oh, say yourself, on that one. I have good habits and a good disposition. I have noble desires because I'm thinking I'm going to obey someday. Oh, you're so close. The meaning of this borderland area means that you may even have a knowledge of the Bible. You may even have a better knowledge than some who are Christians already. Oh, you have knowledge. The scribe did. You have knowledge. You may even defend some Bible truth. You may even attend quite often. So you're close. You're not far, but you're not in. You're not in. Might be one thing that keeps you from not being in, like the rich ruler. And one thing that you do not maybe want to stop doing, holding you back, or that one act of obedience, one thing keeps you away. So that's what it means. You're so close, but you're not in. And that brings about a tragedy of being close, of being in the borderland area. But it's tragic in three areas. Number one, it's tragic in life. Because the people that are so close, perhaps, and I say perhaps, are convinced that that in that borderland area, they are so, or you are so satisfied by being close. I'm happy with being really near. I attend, I enjoy all the friendships of those who are already in. I'm so close, but I enjoy all the fellowships and the singings and everything else that's involved in the life of the congregation. But I'm just not in the church or in the congregation. But I'm so close. And that's tragic because you're satisfied by being close. The almost Christian is reasoning that his goodness is still greater than his sin. And you probably might even be saying to yourself, and God ought to be satisfied with that. Uh-oh. Maybe the thought is, well, I'm living a better life than some of the Christians I know. Well, that's not the question. The tragedy in life is that you're not in. And it's difficult to convince and give you a conviction of needing to be in because you're satisfied with closeness. And you need to realize if you're not in, you're out. If you're not forgiven, you're guilty. If you're not saved, you're lost. By the world's standards, you'll probably be commended. The world would probably give you an attaboy for living such a nice life. But Jesus said in some other places, in Matthew 12, verse 30, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. We don't like that. So we're satisfied by being close. Jesus, we're not with you, but we're not against you. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me. That's Jesus' word. That's how Jesus concludes it. Oh, I don't know. No, that can't be. Who made you God? Who made you the authority? And who gives us the right to change what Jesus said? Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Not just say, oh, those are good words. Those are nice thoughts. Well, I like that. Well, I like the rules. I'm not going to abide by them, but all those are nice. See the tragedy of being so close in life? It's tragic in death. Because if you die in that borderland area, You cannot die in God's favor. If you die in the borderland area, so close. But the blessing in Revelation 14, verse 13, is for those who die in the Lord. Jesus' own words. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. In. Those who are out don't receive the blessing. In Psalm 116, verse 15, the psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What about those who are not? Not precious. So there's a tragedy of that borderland area in life, in a sense that you're probably satisfied by being close. In death, because you're not in. And in judgment, it's tragic. Because in the Bible, there's only two choices. In Jesus' description of a judgment day in Matthew chapter 25, either on the right or on the left, you're either saved or lost. You are numbered among the sheep or numbered among the goats. You either hear come or you hear depart. It's either peace or pain. It's heaven or it's hell. It's well done or you cursed. It's either saved or lost. It's either rest or it's torment. The Bible never offers a safe position called the borderland. It's not offered. But some people have established that position and think it to be a very safe stance. I'm close. No, you're not. In a sense. You are lost. You're cursed, and it's hell. I just kind of put in your notes to kind of bring the lesson home a little bit. We've always heard the expression, a miss is as good as a mile. Right. Understand that phrase? A miss. I just missed it. Yeah, but it's as good as a mile. Watching that close to the target, you might as well hit. Shot the bullet over there. Oh, but I was that close. It's a miss. It's a miss. It's as good as a mile. So, the old expression, then as I remind everyone, while we say close only counts in horseshoes and grenades. Yeah, close. But you're out. So you're in the borderland. Still far enough away to be lost. One last song. I found our book, and I wish it was one of the song books we had previously. The song was titled Almost Persuaded. The songwriter says this: almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, I'll on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, the last stanza. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, you might be so close. But close doesn't count. There's still tragedy involved in that. And so at the close of every lesson, we sing a song of encouragement or a song of invitation. It's a song of exhortation. Hopefully, if you've been moved to obey, this will be the time that you've chosen to do that. So if you're not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian. You've heard the good news. You've heard the gospel message. And number two, you believe it. And you're willing to turn your life around. Oh, God, I've done this. I've made this resolution and this resolve. Oh, yeah, I've repented. Oh, I confess. You've still doubt my word. I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. Oh, you're so close. So close. But don't forget to be baptized for remission of sins. Mark 16:16. He that believes, yeah, that was the second point, but believes and is baptized shall be saved. One thing you lack, you're so close. Yeah. But you're in the borderland. But you still missed. You still missed. Let's stand together, sing the song that Dennis has collected for us.